Tim, Gregory, welcome to Executive Talk Satellite.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you very much.
Innisputnik was established back in 1971. Can you provide more information on your history, current status and current activity?
Yes, we indeed one of the oldest satellite operators. We were established in 1971. We celebrated 40th anniversary last year. And currently we consist of 26 country members. We are registered in the United Nations, so we are a fully international company. We are now mostly dealing in three activities. One, buying and selling, leasing satellite capacity. We have very good relations with satellite operators like Russian Satellite Communication Company, Gazprom Space Systems, Intelsat, Meosat, SES, ABS, actually you name it. Second activity is dealing with orbital slots and frequency allocations. We have joint project with several current satellite operators and we have some project with development in the near future. And the third part is called Intersputnik Holding. It's our subsidiary company which designs, runs and operates VSAT, VSAT networks, SCPC channels and whatever. They own several companies in Russia, Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan and they operate their own hubs and teleports. So these three main activities what Intersputnik is now, and we'd like to establish cooperation with the future partners and possible enhancing businesses.
How can Intersputnik's expertise in orbital slot and frequency allocation cooperation benefit the market?
Thank you for this question, because actually this activity is one of the important things that Intersputnik does. As Timofey said, we are one of the oldest operators in the world, but our specifics is that we currently don't have our own satellite resources. In these circumstances, it's very important for us to get a secure access to constant supply of the transponder resource. This is important to do with favorable financial conditions, favorable technical conditions, etc., etc. I understand that this is common to many satellite operators and service providers throughout the world, but for Intersputnik, we have specific, which has certain advantages and gives us certain benefits. The thing is that starting from middle of 90s, we started filing the satellite networks to the International Telecommunications Union, and we have a certain frequency rights and number of satellite orbital location which we use in our strategy. Basically, our approach is that since the very beginning of this our activity, our choice was to use the slots jointly with other parties, with other satellite operators, and that approach gives benefits both to Intersputnik and to our partner. First, for Intersputnik, the joint use of orbital resources provide simpler access to transponders, which we get on the satellite being launched together with our partner. We don't bear the full set of risks, which is usually associated with the new satellite project. We benefit from the economies of scale, even when our own requirements are not sufficient for the whole satellite. At the same time, we provide for our partner operator a simpler entry to new markets, because we offer them the solution to the very basic problem that many operators face now, access to the frequency rights at the orbit. And we already have a number of successful examples of such activities. For example, the first one was a joint venture between Lockheed Martin and Intersputnik, which resulted in the launch of LMI-1 satellite at 75 East, which the whole project turned out to be a huge success, because this satellite came one of the primary satellites to serve all Indian region. And after company was acquired by ABS, the startup company, the satellite helped ABS to become one of the most dynamically developing operators in the world. This year, the CEO of ABS, Tom Choi, is selected the top executive, which proves the success of that company, and we are proud to be part of that success. And I should say that our cooperation with ABS didn't stop at 75 East. We extended it further in the end of 2012. Operations at 3 West orbital location started by relocation of the in-orbit satellite, which will be soon replaced by a new one. This satellite addresses the telecommunications need in Africa, which has been already very important for Intersputnik, and we helped ABS to further open that market for their operations. Another example is our cooperation with Spacecom. With them, we are using 17 East orbital location. Amos 5 satellite is currently there, also serving Africa. And we see that these examples prove that the strategy that we chose back then in the 90s is good and successful. And in the next couple of 3 years, we are expecting to start operations in a number of new orbital slots. Beyond that, we're trying to be creative in the current circumstances of lack of orbital resources deficits, we're starting to use unconventional frequencies which are less used, starting with the K-band, which is now a very fashionable topic, and also the planned segments of Ku and C-bands. And this approach allowed us to get several orbital locations over Atlantic, Indian Ocean, and Pacific, which currently are ready to be used, and we are holding a number of discussions to find a potential partner with which to exploit these resources for the benefit of both Intersputnik partner and the market. We're talking both to our member states, a number of which have discovered the deficit of capacity available for their markets, but we are certainly not looking only within Intersputnik membership. We're open to discussion with existing or new operators in the market.
Where is the Russian satellite market now? And what can we expect from it in the future?
The Russian satellite market now desperately needs additional satellite capacity. Currently, the prices are still very high, and the demand is coming up and growing and growing. Unfortunately, the last launches of Russian satellite communication company satellites have failed, which means that the growth is slowing down by deficit. I think that in the next 2 years, the deficit will slightly go down, because a lot of launches, mostly dedicated not only for Russia, but partially covering Russia, will have this deficit slightly changing. New players are coming to market. Russia became a member of WTO. I believe that some restrictions for the foreign satellites to the Russian market could be demolished. And a lot of new launches of Russian satellite companies like Gazprom and RSC are scheduled for this and next year. I think that Russia in the next 2 years will keep its growing positions in totally growth per annum. It will be sufficient, I should say. The demand is still there. Russia definitely needs capacity, and as you may know, the leverage of the old telecommunication development is going to be expanded. I mean that infrastructure project of the Russian government feels that additional ways of delivering the data is needed. Russia has a very vast territory, and this territory could not be covered with a fiber or different kinds of data delivery. Satellite communication will be still a huge play in the Russian market, and including CIS countries, in which currently the infrastructure is not so well modern, I should say. But this is a good chance to build a new infrastructure just in the latest achievements of the technology. So,
what kind of success can we expect from the development of satellite broadcasting over CIS countries?
Well, Russian citizens are very popular among the world as a very big TV viewers, I should say. And currently we have a DTH platform called Tricolor TV, which has more than 10 million subscribers, which, as we say, for European market is rather sufficient amount of viewers. And due to changing of technologies coming from PEC-2 to PEC-4, I think that the amount of subscribers of DTH and pay TV will grow. Intersputnik now is the largest DTH capacity provider in Russia. We are leasing more than 20 transponders from Eutelsat. And I should say that this year ABS-2 is coming, and we also have already leased around, I should say, 18 equivalent transponders on that. They are dedicated for the television purposes. TV channels are still coming to Intersputnik asking for additional capacity, and I believe this is a very important thing, because we are together with our partners are planning to place an additional satellite in one of the Intersputnik orbital location dedicated for broadcasting. HD is coming. A lot of Russian families have bought an HD TV, so I believe this will help also satellite companies like DTH companies and broadcasting companies to enhance their business. It's very good for the market and for communication atmosphere.
Can we expect possible expansion of Intersputnik's activities by getting its own satellites?
Certainly, this is our ultimate goal, but for the time being our strategy is not related to getting our own satellite, but mostly, as I mentioned previously, in joint exploitation of our orbital spectrum resources. And one of the major examples of such events is what Timofey mentioned about PSS capacity on ABS-2, because the access to that capacity was possible due to the structure of our cooperation with ABS on our orbital spectrum resources at 75 East. That approach will be further applied in one of our Eastern Atlantic orbital positions, a new position which we expect to start using at the end of 2015, beginning of 2016, where Intersputnik will have a significant amount of transponders that will be eventually marketed under Intersputnik's name.
An organization of international corporations, how about new member countries and complex projects for country members?
We are open organization. We are still open for entering new member countries. This year we've been joining by Somalia, and I believe at least two or three countries of African community evaluating the possibility of joining to Sputnik. What is Sputnik is ready to tell its new members that we are having a huge experience in delivering complex projects hence for national telecommunication sphere. We are ready to cooperate with the new member countries and existing member countries of developing, let's say, OTT project, designing VSAT networks, internet networks. Together with our partners, we can estimate the possibility of delivering equipment, of designing the network. So this is truly what Intersputnik was designed for. Our chart, the main goal of Intersputnik is to establish, develop, and help to enhance national telecommunication sphere in the sphere of satellite communication. I truly think that we are the last ex-Soviet international organization which still exists, and we are on the fully commercial terms, but we do not forget the goal of our organization. So we have a lot of contacts with our member countries. We in the process of consulting some of members of maybe procuring its own satellite resources. We are helping our member countries to deliver to the signal to their national territories. We are ready to become more involved in that. If some future countries which likes the goal of Intersputnik are thinking of joining us, please do. We'll be ready to do that.
Gregory, Tim, thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking.
Thank you very much.